it's our... It's
game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
And welcome back to the Gamers Haven podcast. This is, of course, Ethan, Nathan, and Jeremy with our today's special guest on the show. It's Noah. Say hi, Noah.
Hi, Noah.
I knew you had to do that one. Noah is, of course, Chef Gibbs on the forums right now. Well, not right now, but I'll get into that in the rant later. Hi to all of our wonderful listeners in our Ustream studio audience. But today on the show, we are talking about, we're talking about feeding us at the gaming table, you know? Theme stuff, feeding your gamers, eating a game, that sort of thing. So, is there any other preparation that you want to throw out there, Noah?
I'm sad because people didn't put recipes on our forums. Not that I would know anymore. But
somebody put one on there, but it's not like we can go check them right now.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
I put on like 200 of them, and obviously they got deleted.
Yeah, obviously.
I did back everything I had.
It got corrupted.
Sure it did. Corruption. But yes, we're going to be talking about food and feeding your geek and feeding those gamers at the gaming table and all that crazy stuff. So we will be back right after this.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And we are back. And as I said today on the during the intro, is we have our wonderful Noah on here, Noah Gibbs, Chef Gibbs on the forums, here to talk about feeding us gamers. So Noah, who are you, and why should we care about you talking about food?
Okay, real fast, I am a dual degree graduate of the Culinary Institute of America, which is probably the best cooking school in the country. It's up in Hyde Park, New York, outside of Poughkeepsie. I have about 7 years of experience working in the food industry. I've been gaming since I was 12 years old. I'm currently 25. I started with D&D 2nd Edition, mainly focused on D&D until the last 2 or 3 years when I really started to expand and get into other games, Warhammer 40K, and then a lot of other RPGs, especially after I started listening to you guys, as a matter of fact, is how I got introduced to a lot of games, especially Deadlands.
Excellent. We love spreading the love of Deadlands around.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, the player's hand guidebook down at tabletop, is that different from the main rule book I have, or is that just specifically just
It's the new edition.
Oh, so should I pick that up?
Not if you want to, because you can go to the Pinnacle website and download a PDF of all the changes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just curious, because I'm looking at it going, do I need this? Or not?
No,
not really. We yeah, don't worry about it.
But it's prettiful.
It is very nice. I picked them up at Gen Con, in fact.
Yeah, it looks very good.
So, okay.
Okay.
Where do you want to start with,
Well, let's start with, I want to ask you guys a couple questions.
Okay. Fire away.
First question I have is, what do you guys normally have for dinner when you guys sit down around the table?
Usually it's a fend for yourself on Saturday nights.
Okay.
Usually, yeah. Sometimes yeah. In the nicer months, you know, we've done
yeah.
some grilling out.
And in the nicer months, when all of us are working and all of us have money, we all chip in and we grill, we barbecue because
yeah.
it's you know nice
burgers,
weather,
hot
yeah.
dogs, brats.
Okay.
Stuff like that. When
yep.
we do throw dinners together, usually it's like large pot things, like it'll either be like a crock pot type stew,
yep.
Or we do spaghetti. We've done spaghetti a lot because
right.
spaghetti goes a long way, and everybody will eat spaghetti.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome.
Otherwise, we generally do a potluck.
Yeah, it's potluck.
Yeah. yeah.
That's one of the things I want to stress because we had discussed that, you know, couple of things we're going to look at tonight are how to do cheaper meals for your players and yourselves, how to do healthier meals and snacks for your players and yourselves, and just, you know, a general way of another way of looking at food in games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the potluck is a great way to go. I mean, chipping in works really well. Chicken, I can't stress enough, chicken can go really, really far.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken tends to be about, at least around me, is about $1.99 to $2.99 a pound.
Where? And not here.
No?
No, okay. Not here. Average chicken... Bones chicken is $3.49 a pound at best.
Really?
It goes up from there, yeah.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Kind of depends on where you go.
Yeah, kind of depends on
where you go and the quality of chicken.
Yeah, if you go to Walmart and you buy their grade D chicken, I'm sure you can get it for $1.99, $2.99.
Actually, Walmart has some good meat.
Actually,
lately.
Walmart's... Yeah, Walmart's
food
better. Actually, it's been getting better.
They're really...
Depends on the Walmart you go to.
Do you guys shop at places like Costco or anything, out of curiosity?
My brother goes to... We do go to Sam's Club on occasion,
okay.
yes. But, I mean, that's where you go if you need...
tons of stuff.
We usually do Price Chopper, actually, and they're not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I can stress is, you know, always, as always, like, buying in bulk, planning ahead.
Mm-hmm.
These are always great ways to stretch your dollar. Like I said, chicken goes far. Chicken you can do much with. And if you want to go even cheaper, because chicken breasts and white meat tends to be a lot more expensive, boneless chicken thighs are a great, mm-hmm. great way to go. They tend to be a little bit less expensive, and I find them a little bit more flavorful. Crock pots for those working people are an amazing way to get meals done.
Mm-hmm.
I do meals every week for my rescue squad team. I work on my local rescue squad, and my night I tend to cook for them. My budget is usually between $20 and $30, and within there I'll do a meal for about 6 to 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
On $30, and if you break that down, when there's only six of us, that's only $5 a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but $5 a person for a meal is actually
that's pretty darn good. That's better than McDonald's.
Yeah.
So
oh yeah,
it's better food. It's healthier food.
It's better food than McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
$5 per person.
Yeah.
yeah,
I mean you could feed yourself on $5 at McDonald's, but it's not going to be nearly as good. As
no,
this.
No, it's not.
It's
not as cheap as buying. It's not as cheap as buying at Taco Bell, but it's certainly a hell of a lot better for you.
Real food, yes. The thing I always like to do as far as eating at the game table, especially lately, is have some healthy alternatives and sort of spread that word around to the other people who are bringing stuff. And so we see a lot more often now people are bringing, you know, like a veggie tray or a fruit tray.
On top of that, veggie trays are a hell of a lot cheaper than buying a bag of potato chips.
Well, it depends on the veggie tray.
Well, okay, but here's
the last one. $10.
The last one we bought was $4, which is roughly the same cost as buying a bag of chips. The bag of chips do not go as far as the veggie tray does. I mean, a $4 veggie tray has got enough veggies to feed everybody until they're full.
Okay, now let me make a couple points while you're talking. On this, veggie trays are great for you. They really are good, and veggies are more filling than chips. They have a higher water content, obviously, and they have a higher fiber content. That's right. But instead of necessarily buying those trays yourself, another good option is check your local prices. See what's on sale. See what's in season. See what's available. Buy the fruit, cut it yourself, or the veggies rather.
For those of us that are that don't have that much time, usually though, I think a fruit tray or a veggie tray is a good way to go.
Yeah, when there's people like me who work 20 to 40 hours a week and go to school 12 hours a week for two classes, and Ethan goes to school what 15, 16 hours a week?
I have 12 credit hours, but I'm there.
Yeah. I'm
at school Tuesdays and Thursdays from about 8:30 to about 7.
Yeah, so. And it's the same thing with me. I have 6 credit hours in classes, and I'm actually supposed to be in class 12 hours a week and 3 days. Yeah, my class on Thursdays goes from 6 p.m. to midnight. I don't have time to plan. And on top of that, that's just for the classes. And then on top of that,
you have a lovely wife as well.
Yeah, but she works 40 hours a week, she doesn't want to do anything else when she gets home, and I don't blame her.
When she's felt the desire to, she's thrown together some very decent, very good meals for us gamers.
It was much easier when we had more extra money. We've been so tight lately.
Oh, yeah.
With medical leave
of
absence. Yeah,
I used to do it all the time with my very first gaming group. Mm-hmm. I would cook almost every week.
Yeah, but you didn't have all the expenses we have now. Sure.
Yeah. You still there, Noah?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, I'm sorry, my computer was being cranky.
Okay.
No, and veggie trays and stuff like that are a great way to go. Pulling out a classic, as far as health goes, this is going to sound ridiculous, Ants on a Log. You guys know
that's raisins and peanut butter on celery, isn't it?
Yeah, that is one of the most.
I've never heard of this. Okay, yeah. It's like ants.
Seriously?
On a log.
You've never heard of ants on a log?
No,
oh,
can't say that I have.
Ants on a Log is a great, great snack.
That's raisins and peanut butter on celery.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the only way my parents could get me to eat celery.
I've heard of peanut butter and celery, but not peanut butter and raisins and celery. That's
Yeah. Peanut butter, raisins, and celery. It's actually really good.
That's cool. Hey.
What else? So, a lot of it comes down to planning, you know, seeing who can do what. And believe me, I understand the whole, you know, working 40 hours and going to class and not having time for anything. It can be, you know, it's a matter of figuring out how you want to balance things. You know, assign a rotating schedule of who's preparing it. Set that, you know, you have a $30 limit. We will each pitch in our portion of it for the night.
That's another problem. There are a couple of us in the gaming group that literally have no budget. Their budget for the gaming is the gas to be able to make it to the gaming.
Yeah,
they don't have anything to chip in.
Sometimes you have to just, you know, go with your friends though and just be like.
Yeah. Well, any good group is going to be.
Is it
going
to be understanding of that?
Any good group is going to, you know, understand that. Oh, you're having financial issues. That's fine. You know.
Well, and I'm not saying that. You know, it's that person's turn that week to spend the whole $30.
Sure.
It's that person's turn this week to put forward the $30, but then just collect that money back from everybody on game night.
Yeah. Now, one thing I know I evolved into as far as a GM and running games is I started out originally as, you know, I supplied a lot of the snacks and whatnot, and I really don't think –
It's not the job of the GM to do that. I'm sorry.
Some would say as the host it is, but I mean, I stopped it when one night at a one of the games we ran, both me and my roommate went by the store separately and picked up two cases of Pepsi, and, you know, 24-pack of Pepsi. And by the time the game was over that very same night, we had maybe 12 cans left total.
Out of 48.
And so at that point, both he and I were like, yeah, people got to bring their own stuff at this point because we can't afford that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're sort of getting into the finances of the whole situation. But what if you're doing it on the cheap?
Doing it on the cheap is a lot of the time is a matter of planning. Get that circular from the newspaper. Pick it up as you're going into the store. See what's available. Be flexible. Maybe you're not necessarily a Pepsi drinker. Maybe you're a Coke drinker, depending on how strictly you are. I know.
The easiest way to get drinks for our gaming group is just to buy Diet Pepsi, because everybody will drink Diet Pepsi.
Everyone's drinking. A lot more people drinking Diet now. But
well, no. I'm not arguing that. Yeah. What I'm actually saying is
it all depends on your group. You know, you're
gonna, like I said, it would be great for our game, you know, our group. Yeah. That's like the easiest way for our group is just Diet Pepsi or Diet Dr. Pepper, because you'll drink it, Andre will drink it, Michael will drink it, Becca will drink it, and I'll drink it because it pretty much tastes.
Yeah,
like
but I don't think
Dr.
that
Pepper.
Was his point. Yeah. Though. I think
What I'm saying is open up the circular as you're going into the store. See what's on sale that week. Maybe it's Coke this week. Maybe it's Pepsi the next.
Yeah.
Be flexible. Work with the deals, and that, you know, that can always save you money as far as that goes. Shopping on a budget. I could give you a whole, you know, 3 hours on learning to shop on a budget. It's something that can be hard to do depending on your background, you know. I'm lucky. My family has always had a big freezer. It's just something we've always had in our house. Mm-hmm. So we shop at Costco and we'll buy, you know, that 6-pack of like 20 pounds of chicken breasts and use it over the course of 3, 4, 5 months. It's still good and it costs us a lot less than buying, you know, a small pack of 3 individual breasts at the store, at the supermarket.
Or did you paint your minis already?
So, so you know, there's that. It's also, you know, a matter of what you like. Trying to think, you know, what other ways I can phrase this. One thing I will say, if you're going to be doing potluck meals, and this is always something to be aware of, allergies. Be very aware of food allergies.
Yeah, and we already know all the food allergies that we have here. One of the people in our group has a food allergy to garlic. And
really? So, that's got to suck. That really sucks.
Not as bad as the onion one does, though.
Oh, that's right. You're allergic to onions.
Tracy has a good point. He says, doing snack on the cheap is helped by not drinking pop. So, I mean,
that's water.
Yeah.
Well, water, actually,
one of the coolest. Kool-Aid. Yeah, Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid's one of the best ways to, like, make a large amount of drink for really cheap. Because a cup of sugar and one packet and two quarts of water. And you get some great flavors, too. We got one right now that's just perfect. It's like watermelon berry. I don't think there's anybody in the house that wouldn't drink it.
Well, now there's now points, if you're aiming for the health side though, you're sugar basically drink. Drinking sugar water, and you got to remember that sugar nails calories really high really quickly.
But there's also sugar free, and the sugar free does not taste too terrible.
That's
bad.
That's why they make a Splenda.
No. Yeah,
right, exactly. But okay, and which then balances back to the cheap side, which is Splenda ain't cheap.
Yes,
it also causes cancer.
Oh,
no, not Splenda. Splenda does not. Aspartame does. That's sweet.
No. Everything causes cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Everything causes cancer. Everything causes cancer nowadays.
Jeremy, you cause cancer. Yes.
I cause
Are sitting
cancer.
Here with these headphones on talking to each other
Listening
is causing cancer.
Listening to this podcast causes cancer.
Oh, jeez. We just lost... You know, for the other listeners yet.
But leaving causes cancer, too, so.
Stopping listening to this show causes
more cancer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What can you talk about doing a theme dinner? Because I know some game groups like to do that as far as, like, hey, we're doing a... we're doing a you know, D&D game, so let's have a D&D themed, you know, dinner type of thing.
Theme yeah. dinners. Mm-hmm. Do research. There's a lot of good online sources for recipes. Food Network TV is actually a great recipe resource. It depends on what your theme is. You know, Deadlands, you would want to try and do like
beer.
What?
Beer and cards.
Beer.
And beer and pretzels.
Beer.
Would be great.
Yes, beer and pretzels. Whiskey.
Ale
never make
whores.
It to the game.
Ale and whores.
Ale.
Well, at least I got the Alan part down for
the Alan. But you know, think about your environment. Think about the kinds of food that they have. If you don't know, research Mediterranean. You're going to go with a lot of, you know, vinegar-based foods and a lot of not meat. They eat a lot of.
Pemmican would be a great bean-themed item for Deadlands.
What was
Where at Price Chopper would you find whores, though?
I don't know. It's probably not in the health department.
It's the registers. No. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Checking the young adult novels.
Ooh.
Oh, wait.
Oh, Tracy. Like, come on.
It's fine. They just dress like whores. They're not really whores.
Right. My brain just
as Jeremy derails the entire
show. What was I saying? Mediterranean food is a lot of they do some grilled meats. They do a lot of heavily spiced things. Asian games, go Chinese, go stir fry, go little dishes, tofu is, you know, huge in a lot of Asia. Mediterranean, just, I love Mediterranean. This is just me. Mediterranean, one of the things you can do, go if you have the time. This is always if you have the time and feel like putting the effort in. Lots and lots of smaller dishes. There's a concept of hospitality that exists in the Mediterranean, and while they may not give you like one large portion of something, they'll have a larger variety. It's very evident in classical Italian cooking.
You don't go to eat classical Italian food in Italy. It's you sit down at a table and the food comes out and you pray you make it out with your lives.
Right. Well, let me guess. You just watched John Panette recently, didn't you, Nathan?
No, actually, the person who I actually saw talking about that was Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay.
Like, they lost, like, he said, we lost the cameraman, bail, because they just kept bringing food out to him as they were, and they just kept feeding them, and they wouldn't let them leave.
Yeah, the comedian John Panette does a whole thing on that, too.
And it's the same thing with, like, we have a Greek restaurant down the street called Ares, and you order food. And it's like this. You order the food, and it's like a set price, and you get that food. And then they bring out things like, you need to try this. And by the time you leave, you're about 4 foot around because they've given you, like, you've tasted everything that was in the entire store that was cooked. And you can't
move.
It's
a sense of hospitality.
Yeah. And they do the cool, you know, break a plate and go, au revoir, which is always cool. I don't know what they're saying, but it's something in
Opa.
Greek, I guess. Opa?
Opa.
But it
don't ask
cool.
me what it means. I don't remember. But I just know that that's what the word is.
I like theme foods. Some games theme foods easier than others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
definitely. I mean, you talked once about trying to do like soy based type of thing for
Shadowrun, and that's actually much easier now than it was 5 years ago. Yeah.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
it's great.
We
for
don't
soy.
Have Trader Joe's out here.
Oh, it sucks for you guys. Actually, I was just there earlier. My dinner was from Trader Joe's. They have. Like the most amazing beef tamales that you can just stick in the microwave.
Don't you know? We're like in the cultural black hole of the United States. We're in Kansas. We're in the Bible Belt. Bible Belt. Well, we're classified as part of the Bible Belt.
Science
does not rule here.
CanCon 2011. I will try and get my butt out there, and I will cook you guys like a big ass meal. I promise. If I can get out there,
that'd be cool.
I will cook you guys a huge meal, and we will do some fun stuff.
And the more
stuff.
People we have at CanCon 2011, the better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because CanCon 2011 is going to be bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Well, it's great because my wife keeps asking me, you know, why do I want to go out to Kansas for my vacation? It's like, there's people in games.
Oh, I thought right, this was a birthday card.
So you're going to go to Kansas? Yeah.
And everyone looks at you and goes, why?
Yeah, that's exactly what she did. She goes, why do you want to go to Kansas? Because there's
just tell her
like it.
Biggest ball of twine. Biggest
right.
Yep, yeah, we have the world's largest ball of twine.
And hand-dug well.
Jackpot.
And prairie chickens.
And world's biggest hairball. It was in a cow.
Oh, God.
Oh, freaking awesome.
Oh, no, you have to check out the prairie chickens before you leave. Out near Wichita.
So what other theme stuff, though? I'm curious about, like...
That's a wonderful dinner and food.
Theme stuff for D&D is great. Do, like, roast, if you can get, like, the roast birds.
Cornish game hens.
For cheap. Like, one of those
that was tasty.
Cornish game hens?
Yeah, Cornish game hens.
Yeah, those are fun.
You can do beef jerky, because, you know, that's essentially what a trail ration is. Trail ration is beef jerky and trail mix. That's a trail ration right there is a piece of meat and a bunch of seeds.
Yeah.
Which the thing is that could also work for like Deadlands because they're going to eat. You eat a lot of pemmican, which is a form of trail rations as you're traveling.
It's pemmican is actually like a peppered beef jerky.
Yeah,
essentially.
It's also a thicker meat than standard beef jerky.
Oh, that's what I knew there was something. Chicken. How to make chicken stretch far? Haha. Do skewers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
taking chicken breasts and cutting them into thin pieces and then sticking them on skewers, you'll be surprised how much less you eat if you're eating off of a skewer. It's amazing. I did two breasts, fed my family of four.
What is she doing? I'm sorry, one of the cats is watching the ghosts out on the front porch.
Nice.
Mishka.
My cats are hiding upstairs because my wife decided to bring her dog in from Pennsylvania, and her dog is this 80-pound shepherding dog who's this big black enormous thing, and which scares my two little cats. So
that dog would not last 10 minutes in this house.
Oh, probably not, because she's a little chicken.
Yeah. She might be a coward, but I have a cat that likes to eat dogs.
Nice.
One of the reasons why, sadly, Ethan can't bring his dog over to run around in our backyard is because my cat would kill him.
Yeah, probably.
Which is irritating.
Well, we can't eat dog, can we?
No. Well, we can.
We could, yeah. It'd just be culturally...
taboo?
Socially taboo, really.
Okay, so speaking of Asian games, let's talk about how to obtain cat meat.
Let's not.
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, you can obtain cat meat if you like.
You go to your local humane society.
I'm out.
Just be aware that when you're doing that, a lot of the ones that you put down have cancer, so you got to avoid that meat.
Okay, go to a local trailer park.
Semi-elastic, nearly boneless chemo kitty, huh?
Yeah, well, the chemo kitties are just come pre-marinated. Oh my god!
Semi-elastic, nearly boneless chemo kitties need extra love.
You've been reading something positive.
We're gonna wrap up this discussion in the next 5 minutes.
For Asian food, okay. We have a restaurant called Iron Horse, and they do what's called a beggar's chicken. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a chicken that's baked in mud and cooked and then prepared afterwards. It takes about 24 hours to do it, but it feeds 6 people. And
nice.
I was looking at that going, I wanted to do it this weekend, but I didn't have time to call him today because it just sounded cool because it's like got mushroom sprouts and bean sprouts and everything. It looks tasty. Nice. And homemade noodles. The thing is if you know a good Asian restaurant or like a Chinese restaurant somewhere nearby, most of them, at least around here, the traditional ones have meals that are designed for lots of people, and as long as you give them the time to give them like 24 hours preparation time, they do them for a good price. That beggar's chicken's like $15.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like Asian markets out near you?
Yes, we do.
Yes,
lots
several.
Of them.
Yeah. Check out the Asian markets. You can get some really good deals. I know the one at least the one near me has a not quite a buffet thing, but a place where you can go and they have everything laid out, and they'll make like boxes of food for you, and they'll sell it to you, and it actually tends to be cheaper than going to like a regular Chinese restaurant.
The ones out here are generally much
they're
more
stores.
Like
stores.
They're really
like
a grocery
like
store.
That's what this like one is. They just have they have the food bar.
Yeah, the ones around here don't really do that.
The one closest to us does not have like a buffet type thing where they set up box lunches.
Yeah, well, we got Korean markets, Asian markets.
We have an
Mexicans,
Indian market. We have an Indian market.
Indian market, Mexican stores.
If you want to talk about a good way to increase the health of the food you're eating, if you're going to do pasta night, invest in whole wheat pasta. Invest in things like buckwheat pasta. Soba noodles are amazing.
Yeah, the only noodles we have here in this house are whole wheat noodles.
Try buckwheat. Have you tried soba?
Soba noodles? I eat udon more than anything else.
Well, udon the thing about udon is they're a lot like regular pasta. They're basically just flour and water prepared in a specific way.
Depends on where you get the udon from.
That's
around here use a very weird wheat germ udon noodle.
Interesting.
I like food.
Yeah, me too.
Just in general. Actually, we were thinking about, we picked up some rice ball forms, and we were gonna do rice balls.
Right? Yeah,
sticky rice. Balls
are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going to bed? Sticky rice. I love sticky rice. And if you're gonna do sticky rice, you can get sticky whole wheat sticky brown rice is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Which is again whole grain.
Do you have to find a short grain or a long grain for that?
For sticky rice, it's best for short grain. Short grain has more starch and will get that right consistency.
That stickiness, right.
Yeah.
A place here that sells rice balls, like traditional Japanese rice balls, which are like a rice paste more than like actual rice.
Alrighty. Well, does anybody have anything else to add before we wrap up the discussion tonight?
Food is good.
We didn't talk about desserts.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about desserts.
Oh. Desserts. Good ways to go are things like cobblers.
Brownies. Brownies go a long way.
Brownies go a long way.
A 9x13 pan of brownies will make 16 brownies. And when you've got 8 people in the group, that means everybody gets 2 brownies and everybody's happy.
Caramel apples.
Yeah, caramel and apples goes a long way too.
Also, not to mention, if you want snacks, while it's not the most healthy thing, you can also use gumdrops as well as Mike and Ike's for minions.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
As they die, you eat them.
You walk away from the table and suddenly you're down 12 minions and, you know, like, hey, wait a minute.
It's okay.
Yeah, so there are problems with that.
Not really, because you can just put out more.
At the end of the last episode, I was typing to you guys and I mentioned that I did a Edgar Allan Poe menu.
Yes.
One of the things I did was I did a what I call the telltale heart. Uh-huh. It was an apple cobbler that I made, like a regular apple cobbler filling, took another half an apple, laid that in it so it kind of rose out of it, and I took puff pastry and cut it into little floorboards, baked those off, and then I laid them down with right over where the apple was, like kind of sitting up so the floor was like being raised up. And then I put like little dots so it looked like all the floorboards had nails. This is way more effort than you guys necessarily need to go into. This is something I did for one of my one of the places I was working. But it actually came out – I wish I still had the pictures of it. It actually came out really well. It just looked like a bunch of floorboards and a heart sticking out of it. Also made a Danish mummy. That was fun.
Well, that also goes into not just themed foods, but food that looks like other things, like
right
brains and
jello molds
for brains,
or the cake mold that looks like a person, so you can make like a human body cake and fill it full of various different anatomically correct organs.
Yeah,
we did that for our Gothic literature class. We made a Frankenstein's monster cake and it had like veins and everything.
Yeah, you were saying you made veins out of, what was it, Twizzler pull and peel or something?
Pull and peel.
That's pretty cool.
And then made veins. The heart was like a Jello heart in the middle.
That's nice.
No, he used a Jell-O mold and made a red heart. I mean,
the whole thing is food is fun. Food can, you know, be very easily be integrated into your game. One of the things I said on one of the Munchies for Munchkins segments that I did was role play it out. You know, if you're gonna have your characters going into a banquet, mm-hmm. do the banquet. You know, don't make it part of the game. Make it part of the thing. It's very interesting to see how people get into character. I did a banquet with my characters once, and it was great because I did Cornish game hens and some vegetables and a vegetable soup.
Mm-hmm. And the game hens are great.
Those are great.
They're easy to cook.
Let's segue real quick. Let's segue. We're talking about feeding, eating at the game table. What about let's adapt some of this to actually in the game itself.
Well, and that's what I'm getting into is what I did was I laid this banquet out on my table and had everybody come in as their character. They didn't have to dress up or anything, but they sat down. And I had one guy playing an orcish character, and he was sitting there. He had the entire chicken carcass just in his mouth, and he was talking around the chicken carcass.
Nice.
I mean, people were really getting into it. I was sitting there at the head of the table, not only as the GM, but as the king. I actually made like this little paper crown I put on myself. It was really funny.
Yeah, I've got a real crown.
Yeah.
You probably need to get your new one.
Yeah,
and
come off. A cat's like chewing on it.
And people were really getting into it, and they were actually probably doing deeper role play than I had seen them do in a long time.
Interesting.
Well, because food brings that out.
Yeah. Well, you know, props, but especially food, though.
Food is a different way, immersive,
olfactory, and you know, and tactile type of thing too. So
absolutely,
you have this food in front of you, and it smells good, and it's going to elicit a lot more. Smells elicit a lot more of a response out of you. So having good food in front of you is going to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
But
it's all about immersion.
Yeah, and what I'm talking about though is what if you don't have the resources to go out and you know. Do said banquet, and if you want to do a big banquet like in a game, in the game setting type of thing, there are ways I think you can explain to people and sort of go, well, this is how the banquet works. This is the food that's being served, that sort of thing, and you can do this research online and sort of add that different level to your game that way.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best ways that I've seen that go was we did my characters. We were playing a D&D. They had ended up in the they jumped through a portal and ended up in a. I was doing a Japanese style section using the Oriental Adventures book from third edition, uh-huh. And their characters went and had a meal with the liege lord, and one of them made the mistake of reaching for food before the liege lord, and it was like, oh,
Smurf.
And, you know, they ended up thrown in jail, they ended up with all this trouble, because cultures do take their food, their food service very seriously.
Yes.
You know, this person doesn't eat before this person. A good element to always remember, food tasters. If you're dealing with royalty, food tasters.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working into the, you know, like the intrigue aspect of it. Trying to think what else. I mean, well, think about it. I know, jumping from my mind, you guys did a whole bunch with food in the Wizards College game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we ate a lot during the Wizards College game. That was back when we had money.
No, I'm not just talking about food for yourselves, but I mean in character. You guys, if I remember.
Well, that's because one of the characters was a cook.
Yes.
Right.
Was a chef.
Michael's character, Saucy.
Saucy, yeah. She, right. He was a chef.
Food for us. And different groups are going to do that differently. I mean, you can make it a part of your game and say, well, yes, this is what we're cooking at the campsite tonight. Or you can just, you know, skate over it and go, and we eat.
I usually don't even touch on it unless someone says something.
Yeah. yeah, it sort of depends on the group you're playing with and if you want to be have that much detail.
Yeah, well, I know when I was playing a couple games up at the Culinary Institute of America, believe me, we ended up focusing on that more than once.
Back at your back with your at your
cooking
time
school.
In the CIA?
Yeah, cooking school. I will say one thing about my cooking school is that, you know, we end, you know, our parties were rowdy and we always had the best food. Yeah, you can't beat a bunch of cooking students stealing stuff from the kitchens and using it for parties.
That's true. All right. I think we need to wrap this up, and I think we will be, unless anyone has anything dire need to say, we'll be back after this, right? Good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this.
Gamers Haven Incorporated proudly presents A Thousand Monkeys production of a Pinnacle Entertainment game. Deadlands Reloaded. Enough Room to Die. Featuring the Gamers Haven regulars. A campaign 6 years in the making. Secret societies, bloodthirsty demons. The story's got it all. But can the heroes unravel the plot before it's too late? One thing's for certain is they're gonna either have enough room to live or enough room to die. Available for download only at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
And on today's wonderful, it's always wonderful. On today's awful, it's an actual four-parter because we have our special guest.
That's terrible.
I know, it's terrifying. We're actually breaking the mold. We're doing new and different things. This is like episode 73. So, I mean, we're beyond this now. So, we're doing
so basically what you're saying is you're introducing another person to do shows with you. Ha ha!
Yes. Right.
The awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping. Yeah. Four-parter.
Yes, this three-parter is so big, we had to add another part
to it.
So
yeah.
We had to add a fourth part to this to make it work. I've got a lovely... I've got a rant to go on. And then I think my esteemed colleagues and Noah... Noah, you're not an esteemed colleague, obviously.
No, I'm a minion.
You're a minion, yes.
He's an acolyte?
Doing some acolyte.
Yeah.
Acolyte
minion is lower than an acolyte. Acolyte means he actually has some status and can
true.
Do some
so
stuff.
You
minion
and
means nothing.
Will be acolytes from now on. I'll have to change that
cool.
In the forums, and the forums get back up. Anyway, the three of you guys have reviews. I think Nathan is going to review
Kings of War.
Kings of War. Jeremy's got. Victoriana, and Noah was kind enough to crack open and look at Outbreak Undead. We're going to go ahead and start, just so I can get it out of the way, we're going to start with my lovely rant.
The rant.
All right. Those of you who are listeners to the show will know that that we have a website at GamersHavenPodcast.com, and up until recently, we're recording this as of
September 3rd,
2010. As of 3 days ago, we no longer have a website with them. On September 1st, I was working on the website, and it was running kind of slow, and then it got taken down, and the little admin page would pop up saying, hey, the account owner needs to contact InMotion Hosting. So, you know, this has happened before, and usually it's something, you know, pretty stupid, and just, you know, hey, I have to contact them. And so I go to their little live chat thing and say, hey, my site's down, what's up? And I don't know why I go to their live, would go to their live chat thing, because 90% of the time, or 98% of the time, their live chat thing, the dude on there says, oh, you have to call in for this. call in or quote-unquote email. So I shoot off an email and then wait, because usually, you know, it takes a little bit for anything to happen. I don't get a response after a bit, and I'm starting to get annoyed, so I call them up. Before I call them up, I do get a response. I get this in my email. I says, "We have been in communication with you regarding the resource usage of your site, gamershavenpodcast.com. While we have tried to give you some time to resolve the issue, the resources being consumed by the operation of your website are still well outside of what we can safely contain on a shared platform. As the activity of your site is affecting other customers, we can no longer permit the operation of your site on shared systems. In order for your account to continue to remain in operation in its current state, system administration has recommended the upgrade of your account to an essential dedicated plan, which would meet the needs of your site and allow greater flexibility and control over the platform your website operates on. We will need to hear back from you immediately if you wish to continue hosting your site with us. You can either respond to this via email, or you may call us, blah, 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 the little fine print crap." Well, to give people an idea, our host was costing me about maybe $100-$120 a year. The plan they wanted us to move up to in order to continue their service was $200 a month. Yes, that's $200. Now,
a month.
My response to them was, "Hang on, let me check, see if I have $200 stuffed straight up my Smurf." "No, no, there's nothing. Let me check. Hang on. No, Jimmy Hoffa, no. GURPS book, yes. No $200. And so my response back to them was, "Well, that's not going to work.
Go Smurf yourselves.
You know, what are my other options?" And they said, "Well, $200, we'll continue to host your site, but you have to pay us $200 a month." So I told them to, in not so many words, to get debt. Essentially, the site went down on Wednesday the 1st, on the morning. I managed to, after being on the phone with them for about 2.5 hours, get them to unlock my FTP account, so I could FTP into the site and download my stuff, download the most current version of our site's archives and the site, the forums, and that.
Which is all Gamer Haven property anyway, so
Gamer's Haven, which
they
is all
really
stuff.
Should not. That should not have been difficult.
And
so.
They finally acquiesced to that after basically with them on the phone for 2.5 hours, and then they had to, quote, call me back. And now they said, of course, it's fixed, and I go and try to get onto my FTP. It's still not working. So I call them again, and they say, "Oh, it should be working now." And eventually it starts working. And I set up my my desktop to start downloading the I believe it's about 38 gigabytes worth of Gamer's Haven data.
Could have been worse, yeah.
Most of which I already had backed up on my drive. I just didn't have a lot of the most recent stuff. So, I mean, it's not a full, you know, 40 gigabyte download that I had to do. It is just was more along the lines of about a 20 gigabyte download only. But essentially, what that leaves us at is I had started up using them in about February of this year, and 6 months later, they determined that our site is using too much resources, and they want $200 a month for us to continue. Now, I don't know any podcaster out there, especially any gaming podcasters out there, that have $200
a month
to throw at a podcast website, because I know, sure as heck, our website is not making $200 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we do get a good number of hits, and I love putting this stuff out. We're not going anywhere. We're still going to be doing the show. We're putting out great content. I looked, and in August, we put out over 30 podcasts. We put out over 30 releases, including our actual play. So, I mean, we're out there. We're putting stuff out. As of right now, it's been 2 days. I am still waiting for InMotion Hosting at InMotionHosting.com, for those of you who care, to cancel my service to transfer the 4 domains that I have with them over to the new account I set up at GoDaddy, because I called GoDaddy and said, this is what's going on. I need hosting. This is what my site does. Can you guys handle that? And they said, oh, yeah, that's easy. We can do that just fine. Because we're not talking, you know, rocket science with this.
And I don't see our host, I don't see our site doing terabytes or exabytes of data.
Yeah, and that being all said, the reason I went with these people was because, one, they have good site security. Granted, we never had any security issues. However, once when I was FTPing some stuff to the website, they locked me out thinking and thought I was a hacker, and I had to call them up and have them fix that, which was annoying. The second thing is the program we had unlimited bandwidth and unlimited space.
Really?
Yes.
So
apparently unlimited bandwidth
is not unlimited.
Oh, it's like
space.
Wire. It's
it
like
only means only until we want to start charging you $200 a month.
Oh, so it's wireless unlimited bandwidth.
Yeah.
Unlimited bandwidth, unlimited downloads up to 5 gigabytes.
Yeah.
I hate that bull smurf. That is such utter bull smurf.
I mean, We need lots of bandwidth. We need lots of space because we're talking podcasts. We have lots of big files. Like I said, it's about 40 gigs worth of stuff that's on there now.
Yeah.
And when we're talking the actual play stuff, usually sometimes that stuff's about 200 megabytes. You know, of an episode announced.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff, and it eats up a lot of space. And like I said, we get about 200-250.
Did they
on our feed a day.
Ever contact you before?
It happened a few times as far as they shut down the website because of CPU usage, but it was all a matter of me basically contacting them and saying, what's up? And they said, install this plugin in WordPress, and I did. And I set it up right, and it worked.
So they
apparently,
never...
though, that didn't, to their satisfaction.
So they never contacted you specifically about this situation until they closed down the site this time.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's what I dealt with all day on Wednesday when I had 3 assignments due on Thursday, which I did get done. I just didn't get to sleep till closer to midnight. And so, of course, was dealing with that all day, ready to pull my hair out. And, InMotion hosting can get bent, as far as I'm concerned, where I canceled my service, sent through my cancellation papers with them, and iterated to them that I want a refund of the 6 months of service I'm not getting through them because of their incompetence. And granted, that's, you know, that's about $60. I still want that money back.
Yeah,
and they don't have any, they don't deserve the right to keep that money, considering. They decided to try to renege on the contract.
And I have a platform, I have a podcast, and I'm putting it out here that don't use InMotion hosting. Just don't.
Nope.
They screw you over, pretty much.
Yeah, and everybody out there that hears this, spread the word to other people who do websites. Don't let them host on InMotion.
Yeah, there you go. But that is what's going on with the lovely website. Yes.
So when
feel better?
I do feel better.
When will GoDaddy be able to when will we be able to get it up on GoDaddy?
Right now I'm waiting on InMotion to releasing the domain.
Okay, so basically we just have to release the domain.
Once that happens, I can get the site back up.
And GoDaddy has that chick.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes, she does. Yes, they do, rather.
Oh, well.
I don't know what chick you guys are talking about, apparently.
They have this really hot chick on their commercials.
Is she the one that, like, her brought her, like, shirt strap over?
Yeah, always.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't get the hotness of that.
No. So, anyway, that's what I've been...
no nipple, it's not hot.
So, yes, there is my lovely rant. There is my, I'm ready to, you know, dive into the
interwebs and beat someone
and smack some people around. So my platform
go ahead and do
to say
topic.
They suck is right here. So hey, there we go. I believe now we're going to move on to Jeremy's review of Victoriana. Jeremy, take it away.
All right, so tonight I am reviewing the second edition core rulebook for Victoriana. This is a hardback book. It is a Cubicle 7 production, or publication, excuse me. It's a game in what would be Victorian times, but on an Earth that has fantasy races. This system is in the Heresy game engine, which looks like it's mostly percentile dice. And I gotta say, while I probably wouldn't run the system itself, they've done very well with the artwork. It's all black and white, but the artwork is pretty cool.
This is, of course, it's published by Cubicle 7.
Yes, Cubicle 7. But more importantly than the artwork is how well and how interesting they build upon society of that particular time. They have built their own...
Victoriana, of course, was a, real quick, was a, a 2010 Emmy nominee for Best Writing, although I don't think it won.
And, the nice thing is, or the neat thing is, they have religions in here that are really closely related to, real-world religions, except they've made them their own. Not really not to offend anyone, because if you... Part of the reason you would play this game is to be slightly offended because of society. You are basically playing a gutter runner who is... That could be... You could be a noble who... You know, is helping the common folk out. You could be a commoner who's trying to, you know, make it in the world. There's a lot of social norms in here that run against everything a normal adventurer and most our role-playing games heroes would normally act. So if you want a game with quite a bit of drama, social, you know, fighting a social fight, basically the good fight, with a lot of depth and a fairly neat magic system, as well as just background, I would recommend this. Now, price-wise... seem to have a price on there.
Sometimes it's hiding. This one's not hiding.
Yes. We will have to look on...
It's a hardcover book.
It's pretty sturdy, yeah. And it was a good read. I don't know if they're doing...
Doing what?
Well, I was looking to see if they were doing additional ones based on the same... and it does look like they are doing Faulkner's and the Marrowbone Mummy. So visit Cubicle 7's website. Take a look at Victoriana, second edition core rulebook. It could be a lot of fun. I won't run it, but I would play in it.
Let's see. The core book... I'm just looking on their website. They have a bundle version of it. It looks like it's $50, $49.95. Yeah.
Probably wouldn't buy it for that price. If there's a PDF, I would recommend getting that.
And it's a silver award winner for 2010. It won the second place award.
Yeah, don't care. That's too expensive. But for a PDF, or if you could find it for a little bit cheaper... I think it would be a good book. Or if you're just a fan of that age. It's not really steampunk, per se. There is that technology, but...
yeah, the PDF of it is $29.99.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm not too happy about the price, but...
price
sounds really pricey for a PDF.
Yeah, for PDF for a hardcover book. Granted, it is small press, but still, I think that price is a bit steep.
It is
for something like this. So,
now who knows? Maybe it will take off. And for those of you who like that type of world, but we could probably do it in Savage Worlds and with a little bit of our own research, much cheaper. So I'd probably give it, price-wise, I'd give it 2. For background and stuff, I'd give it a 3.
The review.
Yes. Okay, so I've been reading over the lovely review copy of Outbreak Undead that you provided me with, Ethan. And I have to say, I think this is one of the most innovative games that I've seen in a long time, although very limited in a way. It is meant for doing zombies. It is not meant for applying zombies to other things. It is not meant for doing zombies along with magic, although one of the ways zombies can be created is with magic.
Mm-hmm.
This game, in many ways, they've done to test your zombie survival methods to see how well you would survive yourself. One of the ways they do this is they have what their statistic system is the SPEW system. Strength, perception, empathy, and will. Will?
Strength, empathy.
So you can create a character like you do in a lot of other games using templates and point buy systems, but one of the most unique things about this game is that on their website they have a test called the SPEW AI test, which
the SPEW
is a the SPEW. It's the strength, perception, empathy, will, assessment, inventory. It is a 40-question test that, depending on how you answer the questions, will give you the stats for the game for you as a person. So I sat down, I did my test. I think I forgot to save the results, but I ended up with like a 29 strength, a 72 empathy, and it gave me the rest of my stats.
Mm-hmm. It's a percentile-based system.
It is a percentile-based system. Unlike a lot of other percentile-based systems I've seen, there are not a heavy number of charts. It's basically, here is your target number, roll under it, depending on your modifiers. If you're doing a check that involves your strength, it's roll underneath your strength. So my strength was a 39. I'd have to roll a 39 or lower on my percentile dice. Which is nice. It's a fairly simple system. There's a couple formulas you have to deal with when you're doing combat. If you're doing a ranged weapon, it's your ranged attack plus the weapons have a lethality rating. So your ranged attack plus your lethality weapon gives you the zombie kill percent, the chance of zombie kill.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a 20 range attack, the lethality of the weapon is 30, I have to roll a 50 or below. Just to give you a general idea. The way they do zombies, they have a lot of different zombies to look at in this game. From your Dawn of the Dead style shambling, can't really do much zombie, to your 28 days later, running after you, run like heck, zombie. Ethan just typed to me real fast, just to make sure you can still hear me, and I can't hear you guys all of a sudden.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay.
We're just turning our mics down while you're talking. So.
Oh, that's fine. Combat is done in 6 phases. Now, what I found interesting is that there doesn't seem to be any initiative. You basically go around the table, and for each phase, you declare what you're going to do. There are six phases in combat. So you've got your surprise phase, intent, check, resolution, grapple, and damage. Surprise phase is basically any surprise moves that you're allowed, which is basically a quick reaction to, oh my god, there's a zombie in front of me. And how they react to that. Intent is what they call the cognitive phase, where you're actually thinking about what your action is. The check phase, you roll your checks. Resolution, what happens because of those checks. Grapple. Zombies tend to go last because they're very often reacting. So zombies will grapple you if you're standing next to them and you haven't pretty much killed them yet. And then damage, determining all the damage at the end. Each of these phases is done in order, and every player has to go through each phase before the next phase is done. So everybody declares their surprise actions, everybody declares their intent, everybody does their checks together, everybody finds out the results together. So it stresses the teamwork aspect of the game. They have a whole section on strongholds where, you know, your objective is to hole up with resources and supplies and see how long you can last, designing traps, designing, you know, storehouses, managing resources. They have a whole system using what they call resource points to determine, you know, if you can find things around town, if you can find, food, weapons, clothing, all the stuff you would need to survive. So it's all in all, it seems like a really cool system. One of the things I really liked about it was under their professions, and I know this is going to seem nitpicky, under their professions, they have the firefighter profession, which says, you know, you have to, or firefighters are well physically trained. They are let me go directly to it. I'm having trouble finding it. Give me one moment, please.
Firefighters are the best of the zombie fighters.
Think about it.
They're going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah. Firefighters know how to handle an axe really well.
Yeah.
They're physically fit. They are. Where did it go? Firefighters.
Stuff in here. And dice, no less.
Firefighters, one of the most well-suited individuals for fighting an outbreak is a firefighter. They are required to be in peak physical condition and are trained to be selfless, brave, and respond quickly under stress, and whose primary objective is to find and rescue people in hazardous situations. Mm-hmm. If no other authority figures are present, the firefighter could just as likely be looked to for leadership.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But the interesting distinction that they make is that this is a professional firefighter. Under a second section of the professions, they have volunteer workers, where they list people like myself who do emergency medical services volunteer. They have volunteer firefighters, volunteer cops, but they fall under a different category than regular firefighters.
Uh-huh. That's because they're not regulars. They don't do it every day as a job.
Yeah.
Looks really neat, by the way.
But the fact that they make that distinction within their professions is.
I've done an interview with these guys, the guys who designed this book, and
are they firefighters?
No, they're
actually
not.
Psychologists.
One of them has a degree in psychology, they spent 3 years writing and playtesting this game. So, I mean, they really put it through its paces.
What's the website?
The website for this is outbreakundead.com.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, and you can probably attest to this better than I can, I only have a PDF copy of the book, but it's 456 pages. This is a hefty book.
It's a huge book. There's no other way to put it. Yeah, it's huge. You definitely get what you pay for the $45.
For $45, yeah. 450 pages, you're paying what, like a penny a page or something? Yeah, that's really good.
It's a monstrously large book. Now they don't have any distributors yet, so you can only get it through their website, and it's Hunter's Books and Apparel is the name of the company. You can get the PDF I think their website sells the PDF. If not, you can just talk to them and they can get you a PDF. But yeah, it's a hefty book. But I think the reason it's hefty is because it it's a multi-genre. You know, it tries to basically say, this is the bare bones you need for running a zombie apocalypse game, for whatever genre you want it to be in.
Fantasy, modern.
Right. Future,
yeah.
Whatever.
Future.
It's here.
Victorian.
I really liked the layout of the book is really cool. For a hardcover black and white interior, and a lot of people are going to go, oh, black and white interior, eh. Well, we're talking like good quality magazine stock paper, and the book is presented as if you found a journal of someone who has survived the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So it looks like you're looking through like notebook paper with post-it notes and Polaroids and stuff, paper clipped into it. So its design is really neat and really interesting. It's very eye-catching.
One of the things I really found interesting about those photos that they have in there, the Polaroid-like ones, is they really do look like just regular. They don't look like posed photos. They look like candid, oh my God, zombies are attacking photos.
Yes. And the art in it isn't that great, but I think it works with the theme of the book, is that you found this little journal, you know, and this guy's put little sketches in here of what he's talking about here and there, and, you know, it's by no means is he a good artist, but you know what, this guy survived the zombie, has survived the zombie apocalypse, then, quite frankly...
I think that's interesting to note, is that, you know, it's not meant to be... well, let's say Pathfinder style art, or E style art. It's meant. It is what it's meant to be, and it presents itself very well. I mean, I'm really excited. I actually got a whole bunch of people at my local gaming store really interested in this game, and I'm going to be running this, I think, on Labor Day.
Well, and it's a game that really I want to get the word out about it, because I think it's a very cool looking game. It's a game no one's going to know about until they hear about it. Quite frankly, because you're not going to see it just show up on a gaming shelf, because they don't have a distributor for it yet. So, you can go to their website, outbreakundead.com, and they have some free stuff you can download, like some quick start tools and stuff
I was on their website yesterday, and I was on there today. They are now doing something called Free Content Fridays.
Yes, Free Content Fridays.
Where they put out a special piece of free content on Friday. I think it's only available on Fridays. The file is called FCF September 2010. So I guess they're doing one per month, but it's only going to be available on Fridays. This month's content is for the GM's Toolbox. It is a resource catalog for what can be found in different stores and how much resources you would have to expend to get them. I like that they're, you know, devoting that kind of time and effort into keeping the game interesting and new and having other stuff available for you.
Yeah, and it's they've got a, I think on their website they've got the quick start guide, which is 14-page PDF. They've got their Gen Con Premier Pack, which is a 32-page free PDF, and then they've got some maps, two maps, and now obviously their Free Content Friday.
Yeah,
and they have T-shirts. Their T-shirts are kind of funny, I think. Their T-shirts are says "Your zombie survival plan will fail," and then it has an asterisk, and on the back it says, "We can help you with that." So I think it's kind of amazing. But it's a cool game. I mean, it's something that I found at Gen Con. Actually, Tracy Barnett, Girl Rolling 20s on the forums, he pointed it out to me at Gen Con.
I started asking you about it after I listened to the Gen Con interviews, and I'm just like, wow, this sounds like a really cool game. And you said, hey, do you want to review it for us? And I said, yeah, sure, cool.
And it's a cool game. It's a very cool game. I think it gets thumbs up from me, and it sounds like it thumbs up from you too. So
absolutely, I will be able to tell you more once I've actually run it, and I'm really, really looking forward to running it. Absolutely thumbs up.
We need to record that so we can try to post it. So.
I just got to get the okays from all my players.
The Gamers Haven Halloween event we're doing, I'm probably going to run it as well. So we'll see. It should be a lot of fun.
Good.
We're going to move on now to Nathan's got something to talk about.
the review.
Yes, actually, I'm going to talk about the Kings of War miniatures. Mantic Games was very kind and sent us a couple boxes of different types of Mantic miniatures from their game series called Kings of War. There's actually going to be a rule set for these coming out soon. We don't have a copy of it yet. It's still in beta. Yes. But anybody can access it. I think they have it up somewhere where you can access the rules as they are as of right now. But they sent us a package of pretty much each type of army miniatures. So we got a package of 10 undead warriors, 10 dwarven warriors, and I think 10 elven warriors.
No, I don't think they sent us elves.
No elves.
No elves? Just dwarves and undead?
Yeah.
Jeremy handed off to me the undead, and I spent an evening, like 4 hours, quickly cutting them out, cleaning up the flashlines, which were almost non-existent, and putting them together. I'm going to talk about the quality of the miniatures, the quality of the plastic, the quality of the molds they use, and probably put it on a scale of 1 to 100 to give a rough idea, so, you know, puts on a scale that people understand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mantic Games, as everyone knows, is a fairly new company. Mm-hmm. It is run, from what I understand, by people who used to work for Games Workshop. Mm-hmm. We'll start with the quality of the miniatures, the quality of the actual...
Of the regimental stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the actual look of the miniatures.
Right.
We're going to talk about the quality of the look of the miniatures. Okay. The lines on the minis for the actual look of the minis is very clean, very concise. Every army has a very distinct style. The skeletons are very... they're very skeletal with what looks like decaying remains of clothing and armor hanging from them. The elves are very fluid, everything's smooth and rounded. The dwarves are very brick, blocky. Their armor is very sharp, hard edges. So every army so far that they have, and we're working on more. The next one up is the orcs army, from what I understand.
I'm hoping it's the orcs, because...
Well, they talked about it, that one of the boxes they had a preview of the upcoming orc army.
Which, it would be nice, because these guys are looking, like, good for regimental stuff.
Yeah. The every army so far has a unique style to it. This allows you to easily identify it, aside from the fact that they actually look different too. So I would say, on a scale to 1 to 100 for the actual style quality of the miniatures, I would give them a 92. They're very stylish. They're easily identifiable as what they are. You're not going to confuse them for another army game, and so they stand out and they look good. The mold quality. Now, they are a new company, which means that the molds they are using are very new. There's a plus and a minus to this. The plus is that some of the molds, because they're new, some of the actual items come out of the molds hard, so that they don't come out quite right. Of the 10 bases I have, 5 of them are damaged.
Yeah.
The circles aren't right. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the thing is the bonus or the offset of that is that the flashing on the models, the seams... Mm-hmm. Where the plastic molds come together, mm-hmm. are very, very minimal. It took me literally to clean 10 minis. Oh, yeah. To clean 10 minis took me an hour. Yeah. Now, to give you an idea of what that normally is, Games Workshop, usually a regiment of 20 models, takes me 10 hours to clean the mold, mm-hmm. seam lines, because it's just a mess.
You got the undead. You got skeletons.
Yes, and they're tiny.
Okay. And I'm saying, because I got the same set. I mean, I bought the set at Gen Con. And the thing I can tell you is, putting together Mantic skeletons,
I haven't got to that
me,
yet.
Took me about 10 minutes.
Yeah. I haven't got there yet. That's actually going to be the next thing.
Yeah.
But so the mold quality, the quality is that the, on the actual miniatures themselves, there is no perceptible damages to the molds or to the miniatures. They all come out nice and clean. But the bases, because of the way the bases are built and the new quality of the molds, the bases don't come out, and so there can be some damage on them. So I'd give them probably an 85 on the mold quality. There are pluses and minuses to the actual quality.
Their plastics are very nice.
Yes, they're going on to the quality of the materials they use. Games Workshop needs to take a page from these people. This plastic is very nice. It's not super pliable. It's not like some of the early plastics from Game Workshop where you're trying to clean one of the little arms and the arm snaps in half because you're holding it too hard. Yeah, that crap sucks. These guys are durable. The other thing is the because of the way they build their plastic models, there's very few pieces. So you don't have all these little itty-bitty arms you have to shave, so you don't have to worry about or fear breaking a tiny piece and not having a replacement. So on the actual durability of the materials they use, I would give them a solid 95 or up out of 100. Great, great quality materials. Now, onto the actual building of the models themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There is limited customization to them
mm-hmm.
because they are limited pieces. I don't know about the dwarves, but in the skeletons, 7 of the 10 were two pieces. You had the upper body and the lower body, and most of them had weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Two pieces. Goes together real quick, glue together, sticks nice together, you know, looks good. And the other three were customizable. All three were customizable in the fact that you could add a head, and two of them are customizable that you could add an arm and...
The dwarves are about the same.
And and then you could add a weapon.
Generally, there's about two or three that are pretty much not customizable at all. They're
right.
It's 60-40. 60 non-customizable, 40% is customizable.
The other ones are slightly customizable, and then there's one or two that are really...
There's one that is completely customizable. The only thing he'll have is he'll have the body, may have a shield, but he'll have no head, he'll have no arm and no weapon. You'll have to build that as you wish. One is completely customizable. Two are partially customizable. A third one will be semi-customizable, like he won't have an arm, but he'll have a head. And then the other six will be non-customizable, except for a few will have the ability to add weapons. But so it's like it's a 60-40%.
For regimental troops, I don't really care about customizable.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing I haven't got to yet. Yes, there's limited customization, so in that respect, they probably get like a 75.
Yeah.
But these troops are designed to be used in large groups and regiments.
You're not looking at this as a character model. Yeah. I mean, you want that. You want really
you go to Reaper or something for that.
Yeah, if you're looking for a character model.
These guys are designed for big units where you're going to see a massive chunk of this army coming at you. These are not these aren't armies that have command units. Because the command units are going to be specific, and they're going to be, there's going to be, specific things that are going to be different from the rest of the minis. And so more than likely, those will probably come out later. They're great for regimental.
Did that skeleton group come with command? Because this is the Dwarven Command unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it had a couple customizable
guys. So you could add, like, a commander and a standard bearer
and stuff like that. Beyond that, I'd rather have skeletons like that. Yeah. And, like, if I get a normal set, I'd rather just be glue them together, put them up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I want to do.
Customizability-wise, the thing is when you look at what they're supposed to be used for, they don't need to be customizable.
Hey, Nathan?
Yeah?
They don't necessarily have great customizability, but how are they in variety of minis? Like, how many different poses or equipment?
Not going to be that many poses. They're designed for rank and file regiment units, which means that you're going to see so far. So what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of the same stance, the same setup for the guys. Most of the people, most of the skeletons have the same leg stance. The only thing that's different is how they hold their shields and how they hold their weapons.
Right.
Okay.
Some skeletons' mouths are open, some skeletons' mouths are closed. Yeah. But there's not a lot of difference between the models. And the thing is for what they're designed for, there doesn't need to be. But if you're looking for an army or if you're looking for models where you're looking for customizability, you're going to be disappointed when you come to this, because if you come into this going, I want to be able to build these guys piece by piece, you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
If you want that, spend the extra money and do Games Workshop and bitch and whine like I do about the fact that I just had to spend $45 to get 20 skeletons to make them look like I want.
Except I hate those skeletons.
Yeah.
I
haven't got to that yet.
And I hate those.
Yeah. One of the things about the ease of building these guys The ease of building the Mantic miniatures, the Mantic game skeletons, is a breeze. I love the fact of how easy they are to build. On a scale of 1 to 100, they get 100 on the ease of construction. I have done literally probably close to 400 Games Workshop miniatures, and whereas the Games Workshop miniatures, have a high level of customization.
Nathan and I put together, you put together Tomb Kings, I put together Vampire Counts, and we can attest to how much of a pain in the smurf.
I have
put together skeletons.
I have 120 skeletons. 40 are regimented skeleton warriors, 40 are bowmen, and 20 are horsemen.
Yeah, the bowmen are the worst ones.
No, the horsemen are bad, because not only do you have to put together the stupid riders, you have to put together those god-smurfing horses that don't stay together.
Yes.
And then the guys don't stay on them.
Yeah, and the guys don't stay on them.
Because there's no saddle.
Oh, my.
And they also break way too easy.
And that's the thing, because there's so many pieces. Okay.
It's like a McFarlane toy. It looks good in the package.
Yeah. Here's a great comparison between the Mantic miniatures for the skeletons and Games Workshop. Mantic miniature. Head and arm and legs, or head and arm and chest. Piece one. Piece two. Legs. Glue together. You're done. Games Workshop miniature. Legs and pelvis. Chest. Arm, arm, head, weapon, shield. And none of it sticks together. None of it.
Yeah.
And all these pieces usually have so much flashing on them, and you're sitting here with a scalpel or a hobby knife
yeah.
in one hand, holding this miniaturized 25 mm or 28 millimeter arm by like the fingers of the hand, which are so small you can't even count the fingers, and gently scraping and praying to God you don't cut the damn arm in half or cut off a bit or cut yourself
or drop it
because then you can't find it in the carpet or in like my case
it, it's gone.
Or in my case you drop it and one of the cats runs up and eats it. Oh,
I have gray carpeting.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I drop it, it's gone.
Oh my god.
You know what's kind of funny?
The customization is great, but it will drive you insane.
I just went to a miniature market, and Kings of War is already on there.
Yeah, they've been out for
a little while.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking at their website. It's interesting. They're recommending the Army Painter paints for their minis.
Yeah,
see,
the other thing I really like about them is they have
a full line.
They have a paint set, and when you buy the paint set, it
you
comes
get minis,
with minis with it,
which is so awesome.
Which is great.
Games Workshop used to do that.
And I'm gonna just put it out there. I mean, they have these battle sets that are coming out. They have battle set coming out,
which seem pretty nice.
And like it's 110 undead minis for like $75.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
Yeah,
which is unheard of.
Now, yeah, the battalion boxes usually come with around 60 miniatures, and they're $110.
Now,
at least.
Now, I think that's what the battalion boxes are now. Because the battalion boxes have a fixed price.
Now, real quick though, Ethan has a couple of the individual heroes, and I do want to hear about that.
Their metal minis.
Yeah, and there's been some complaints about their metal minis.
Not very good. I was not very impressed. I got a box of their some of their undead heroes, and one of the minis looks really good. The other three or four, I think it was three in there, I wasn't too impressed with.
Yeah, the reason for that being, I'm pretty sure the reason for that being is the plastic molds are made of a different material. It's much more pliable and easy to mold. The actual molds that are used to make metal miniatures actually are hard material. They're hard to sculpt.
I recommend them entirely for
regimental.
Right.
Regiment stuff. Because it's entirely the best bang for the buck.
Yeah.
I mean, you get 10 skeletons, 10 dwarves, whatever, for about $50.
Well, that's why I'm hoping they do orcs really soon.
Yeah.
For that
because
price, it's wonderful.
That's the thing I've complained about so long. Where do you go for reasonable orcs, goblins, whatever? They're just vast quantities.
And this is at Mantic Game, www.mantic.games.
Yeah, I just want vast quantities.
Yeah.
Nope.
And it's entirely, it's, they're good for what
if they do
for.
That.
Yeah. If you're going to run a game and you need a lot of skeletons.
Right.
Yeah.
So for us, it's done. Great because 20, we.
No, 25 bucks is 40 skeletons.
This.
$29.99 is their two unit set.
And they have a thing of 60.
For 54. Set, for 54 bucks.
Yeah. So I'm talking less than a buck a mini.
Right, and they're higher quality than, I mean, if you want to go really cheap.
You get like the bag of zombies or
bag of zombies, but the other company that took like 30 years to send my stuff.
Oh, Black Food.
I still recommend them for individual things.
Mm-hmm.
And they have massive quantities. Yeah. But
I think they're all metals, though. Right?
They're all metals. And that's fine. I mean, that's okay.
Mantic, though, is, I think, really good.
I think they could really continue doing very well.
I'm looking forward to see what they do with their new rules. Because the guy who's working on the rules is the same guy who did the Warhammer rules.
Yeah, and so they're pretty much in alpha stage right now, but apparently you can read them somewhere. I don't know where. They were talking about it in one of their posts.
I'm trying to set up an interview with these guys.
Yeah, they're constantly doing promotions and, like, giveaways and stuff, so keep an eye on their website. Check out their promotions. Games Workshop used to do paint sets that came with a few miniatures, but the thing was, is what they found is they weren't making enough money off it, and they canceled it.
But these come with like 10.
Yeah,
which
the old Games Workshop ones did too.
Well, because the last one Games Workshop was one.
Those battle sets come with paint.
That's awesome.
Have a few paints in them.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude,
overall, in summary, and summation, to use a big word, I know I don't use them very often. Mm-hmm. It makes my tongue do funny stuff. In summation, for what you buy these miniatures for, for the price, for the customization, these guys, the Mantic Games miniatures, are unbeatable.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the same quality of miniature, mm-hmm. The same and, quality of the
yeah,
build.
Currently they have undead, dwarves, and elves, and their next line they're coming out with is orcs.
Supposedly. That's the rumor.
I talked to them at Gen Con. They said they told me
orcs, that's good,
directly from the horse's mouth, orcs are coming
okay.
next.
That's cool.
You're going to buy these for very specific reasons. They're going to fill out regimental ranks. They even recommend that you can use them to fill out ranks in Warhammer. There are some discrepancies in size. The skeletons seem a little smaller than the skeletons in Games Workshop, and the dwarves are a little larger, but the elves are about on par. So as long as you don't care about the size difference, rank them up. I hate to say it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for Games Workshop, but when you're charging us $45 for a box of 16 dwarves, there's only so long we're going to take that before we start buying boxes of 20 dwarves from Mantic Games for $25.
Yeah, and for people like us who are quite willing to go to Reaper, to go to, you know,
Mantic,
to go
poor.
To...
We're poor gamers.
Even,
we're all college students.
Even Mega Minis. I mean, you know, anything.
Well, and these are nice because I really like their basing system.
Yeah, their bases are excellent.
Their bases are so much better than Games Workshop ones.
Because you don't have to slot or glue.
Well,
you have to glue them. But it's not like trying to glue little skeleton feet to
a
damn base.
A little tab. You're gluing a whole circle that has a huge contact area. Then you put him in there, and then you
angle him to make sure that he doesn't.
They're very nice.
Overall, I give them out of overall total, adding everything up, I give them a 92 out of 100. They're well worth the money. They're definitely worth checking out. If you love Warhammer and you don't like paying the prices for Warhammer miniatures and you play either elves, dwarves, or skeletons,
keep an
eye on Mantic. Now, when their orcs come out, check out their orc line. I'm sure they're going to be awesome looking.
Well, and I will buy... I'm not sure if I need any more dwarves, but I probably will buy some orcs when they come out because I bet they'll have a box and I can get like 20 of them or whatever for a reasonable price.
Yeah. The thing is the days of paying...
If I needed more zombies, 60 of them.
Yeah,
I think you should use pink flamingos personally.
If you know, the days of paying $50 for a box of 20 guys, it's going to come to an end. Games Workshop's going to have to do something to their pricing because they're going to start losing business.
People
don't like paying so much for a box of minis.
When I was down at Tabletop, the greatest gaming store in the world,
and they're at their
new location,
their box of 60 zombies is $60.
Yeah. $1 a mini.
So it's a buck a mini.
Well, here's something that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
If you are playing Empire or Humans,
mm-hmm.
And especially like, let's say you're playing Warhammer,
but you don't
want to stick around with, and you're not playing in tournaments, basically. Something I noticed down at Tabletop, they have the War of the Rose, historical gaming, and they have minis. They can either be like, spear infantry or archers. There are 40 of them for $30. That's good price.
You can fill up some of your ranks.
Right, and they looked very simple to put together. I haven't bought any yet. I'm probably going to test them out.
Yeah, see, unfortunately, I don't play any armies that I can do that
but
with.
But my point is, don't limit yourself.
Yeah, like, definitely check out all
check
that's
out
available.
All these things because you know we don't play in tournaments, so we don't care. You know,
and on top of that, most of us have enough minis that are actual legitimate Warhammer minis that we could play in a tournament.
Yeah.
Anyways, the thing is why we want to go to a tournament. Every tournament I've ever been to has been full of whining, bitching people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to 3 tournaments, and after that, none of them were at Tabletop Games, I should say. But all of the tournaments that I've been to, 2 at Gen Con, and 1 in Lawrence. After going to those games, because you have these people that bitch whenever the rules don't go the way that they want them to go. When you point out that the rules are, you know, specifically set a specific way and that doesn't go the way they want, they just throw fits. And you just go, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
No.
In other words, for those of us that are reasonable
Unlike me, I get pissed off when the dice just beat the living hell out of me.
Mantic Games, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, nice. Well, we will be back right after this.
Pathfinder, the Dragon Game. Dragons are ancient and noble creatures with intellects far beyond that of mortal men. But a dark evil has plans for a group of hatchlings who must overcome adversity and become the dragons they are meant to be. Actual play only available at GamersHavenPodcast.com.
We are back, and today on our random encounters, I've got a few emails to go over real quick here. I wanted to give a shout out to Eric Oliver of Tarzana, California.
Tarzana!
Who sent us $15.
Whoa!
Who sent Gamers Haven $15.
That was very kind of him. Thank you.
Yes, I wanted to specifically say thank you for helping support Gamers Haven. And what with our current website woes and various things, unfortunately, I will be calling out to a lot more people to help support Gamers Haven as much as they can by, once we get the site back up, of course, going to DriveThruRPG or RPG
through our site.
Go to Noble Knight Games through our site, or just come click on the donate button and give us a buck. You know, if you like the show, give us a buck. That's pretty much.
In addition, if we release anything through our site. Buy it. That'll help us out.
We'll see what we can do. But yeah, you know, give us as much help as you can, obviously.
Give us
money.
But
I wanted to say thanks to him for sending us $15. That was very nice of him. Got an email from Gary the Eighth Pagan.
Yay!
Although now he's signing his stuff with the Infinite Pagan.
The Infinite Pagan. Infinite, well, he's still just the Eighth.
So he's the Infinite Pagan. He's the Unending Pagan. I said, hi, I was considering getting my old Marvel phase rip out and trying a one-shot using some house rules, but put that on hold now as the DC Adventures is due out in a few days. I listened to the Marvel Gen Con actual play, which was almost all combat, which is never good. Not sure if any of the rules were in effect, but I'm sure that with Karma, you only had to declare you were spending not how much, but if it was a minimum, declare that you were spending and there was a minimum of 10 spent. More importantly, Nightcrawler does not go blamf, he goes bamf. At least he does in my comics. I guess he could go blamf in whatever alternate dimension the judge was running the game, but on Earth 616, it's definitely bamf. It sounded like he was he's saying blamf to me anyway. Yeah, the game was mostly combat, but I had a lot of fun with it either way. So, I mean, it was just a good trip down memory lane for me and spurred me to buy a bunch of old Marvel stuff back again. So, the old Marvel RPG, I think, is a lot of fun. So, but thanks, Gary. Release some of the other pagans at some point, if you would. That or, you know, just
kill them and take their power.
Well, I think he's probably already done that.
Oh.
Or I wonder if he feeds on them one at a time or lets them build back up and then takes
them. Oh, he's like a vampire pagan.
I don't know.
Sweet.
He's their overlord.
It's
so expensive to keep them alive, though.
I know. It is. We got an email from John Haremza.
That's a cool name.
Hey, guys. Hope everything is going well for you. Sounds like CantCon was a rousing success. Congratulations. I think it's pretty cool that you, your love of the hobby has manifested itself in your putting on your own convention to spread that love. I'll have to add it to my list, and hopefully I'll be able to get out to it sometime. It would be awesome to get a chance to game with you guys and gals. Your coverage of Gen Con was great. I found myself listening to the podcast with a pen and paper, taking notes and searching for things on the internet afterwards. I bookmarked a bunch of sites that will definitely be adding some things to my game collection. It's pretty cool that even at a big con, you guys were able to get all those interviews, and everyone seemed pretty cool about it. Did you actually get to play any games? Seems like you were awfully busy. Finally, I have a question. Have you been coding your podcast different in any way? For some reason, my MP3 player won't recognize podcasts from you anymore. Everything I was, everything I listened to you guys are the only one. Not sure if you have an answer, but I figured I'd ask. No, we're not doing anything differently. So I've already talked to John about it. So we'll see what's going on with that. I did get to play some games at Gen Con. Like I said, I got to play Marvel. Tracy ran a very cool Deadlands game, and I got to play in a DC Adventures game as well. So That was a lot of fun. Yes, I'm glad you guys enjoyed the Gen Con content. All of it is out now, so you hopefully have all listened to it and enjoyed it. So we did sort of try to get that out as fast as we could. Got an email from Inkhorn.
Inkhorn?
Inkhorn.
Cool name.
Is everything okay? Is the future of Gamers Haven podcast grim, or are there still saves to be made? I just discovered you, and now you are gone. Sniffle. Yeah, see the rant. See the rant on. I'm not going to get back into that. Let's see. Here's another one.
We're still here. We're still kicking.
Nobody's informed you. The website has gone down and is saying for the account holder to contact customer service that I should inform you in case nobody has.
Thank you.
We know.
I'm glad people care enough to you know, tell me to look at the site. But yes, I know, and we're dealing with it. And as soon as we can get the site back up, we'll get the site back up through a competent web host. So. But that's all. That's all of the random encounters we have today.
No. Noah sent us another random encounter.
Oh,
kind
Noah's,
of.
Noah sent us another random encounter.
I sent the link to you, Ethan.
You did?
Oh, okay.
I block you anyway.
You need to look it up. It's awesome.
The lemur?
Is, let's see, no, Evil Shrine and Pygmy Savage.
Oh, yes.
I do think that's pretty funny. I might have to get that just for the Tiki Dudes.
Yes.
Those are funny.
Add
those to the new Betrayal of House on the Hill set. We're good.
I love Reaper minis, dude.
Reaper
like they have
some great stuff.
I just found the green for their new Abraham Van Helsing mini. It's pretty clutch, man. It is.
Nice.
It's nice. Yeah, thank you for having me today. By the way,
no problem. Thanks for being on the show. We are always happy to have people like you on, but not that Tracy guy. He's kind of crazy.
Oh, come on, give him a little bit of a break. He did great.
He's crazy. He's in the chat now, being crazy.
He was in the chat room now, being crazy.
Yeah, well, dude, I'm like the fanboy. Do you have any idea how happy I was to be on the show?
Oh yeah. We'll send you a note later.
Yeah, it's half the reason. It's half the reason I was stuttering through my review.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, we muted you anyway. We didn't care.
I figured.
Well, yeah, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for for talking food with us.
Cool.
It's
anytime.
Been fun. Thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll free 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.